Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
The blood washed away, but the guilt never does. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott.
Lyle and Eric Menendez, the thought that existed for a little while this year, maybe they'll be up by Thanksgiving. That clearly did not happen, and Christmas is not in the cards as well. In fact, we're going all the way to January 30th and 31st for the resentencing hearing that is going to be taking place out in Los Angeles. New district attorney coming in, Nathan Hochman, wants to review the case. The previous outgoing AG said, yep, we think this should be ready for him to go or ready for them to go. But now they're going to take a little bit longer look at this. Joining me to discuss, Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author. We always knew there was going to be some hoops to jump through on this. But psychologically speaking, for these brothers, after all they've gone through, you think they're stressed out about this? Or is this kind of another, you know, bump in the road for a life that's already been been a nightmare?
Yeah, yeah. My guess is after, what, 30, 35 years, that they've probably developed quite a capacity for rolling with it at this point. They may not have had their hopes real high, but I think the rest of us are eager to kind of move on with it and have them because they have spent a lot of time.
I would guess that they've developed some coping skills over the years.
Coping skills for
on,
it, yeah.
On how to deal with all of this. But let's talk about the case itself and why, in fact, they are up here for parole after all these years. The Innocence Project taking on their case, helping to push that forward. When we look at the details of this, going all the way back to the allegations of abuse from Jose Menendez, and of course now we also have the accusations from the Menudo member, Roy Rosillo, it's pretty safe to say that Jose was not a great dad, from what we can understand. That's putting it probably lightly, probably more like a serial abuser if we were to guess on this. It's interesting because we're talking like 30 years ago, not ancient history. Mm-hmm. Why do we have such a different view on this now? Why, when we look at this and we shine the flashlight on it, it looks like a totally different case today than it did back then. And yet most of the facts are still pretty much the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was a young therapist at the time, and I was actually working with women at a sexual assault crisis center back in the 90s. And we just didn't see a lot of young men or boys coming forward and talking about molest, although we certainly now understand, looking at all the data, that it was happening, but it was kept secret. It was hidden. And, you know, we were serving, occasionally we'd get a male client, but it was almost always female clients. And I think since then, society has just progressed a lot with being able to understand that abuse doesn't just happen to females. It happens to males too. And when it gets into sexual abuse, there has always, I think, historically been a lot more. The revelations from the Catholic Church and abuse by priests. And, you know, there's just been a huge shift since then with people coming out and talking about it, which is wonderful that we can acknowledge the truth now.
Why was it like that? Why were we so afraid to talk about it with men? And obviously, I get, you know, if you're an adult and all that, you're a male, you don't want to talk. Nobody wants to talk about this, no matter what, male or female. Yeah. But obviously, it happens. But were boys just being ignored? Pretty much was it one of those things? I'm trying to understand this. If you came to an adult and you were a child in that time period, were boys dismissed more than women on this of, it's just this or that, always coming up with some sort of an excuse? I guess, why were they not taken seriously? Was it because there was just so many adult males who would then also have to maybe face the reality of what they went through as well, and that kind of reckoning if they accepted it over there with the newer generation, they'd have to reckon it with their own generation. Is that part of what was going on?
It sure could be. The other thing that comes to mind, speculating, is that there was an added layer of shame around homosexuality, mm-hmm. which is, of course, now much more embraced to see yeah. gay weddings and you know, people are yeah. very open about their sexual preferences. It's not judged. But boys are most often molested by adult males yeah. most of the time. Females are most often molested by males. And so I think when you added that layer in of it was, you know, the same sex molestation, that there was an added layer of shame about it where people just didn't want to acknowledge it, that it even happened. They didn't want to talk about it. And even with boys and girls, I know in my family history, there was a lot of sexual molestation of grandmother and aunts and things like that. And it was still very much swept under the rug and not talked about. You know, it was just, well, avoid Uncle Bill or, you know, whatever. But it wasn't ever reported. It wasn't, you know, criminalized. And it just seems like over time, we've become much more aware of things that adults can do to children that deserve consequences that are horrible.
And that's a disturbing thing, because you have, and this still, obviously, it still goes on, but you still have this veil in so many families where they will put the wall up of, oh yeah, there's Uncle Bill, especially as now that we're around the holidays, a lot of people probably being very triggered if they're going to family get-togethers. And there's so-and-so over there who did this to me when I was a kid, but nobody's ever going to believe me, or the family's right. kind of cool with it right. in some sort of a weird way, because facing up to reality is so harmful and hurtful. Let's talk about that on this angle a little bit, even beyond the Menendez brothers and people who are going into that situation over the holidays, rather than, you know, lashing out with a shotgun and taking out Uncle Bill who molested you.
Yeah.
What are some ways that are more healthier ways to cope with this sort of thing? You say you want to be with your family, but your family seems to present a safe harbor to these sort of people. Does the family go out with the bathwater as well if they continue to harbor someone like that? It just seems so cruel to the victim so many times.
Yeah, no, it's horrifying. I had worked with so many, working with abused kids, and you end up meeting their families and trying to figure out how do you navigate these kinds of things. I think most of the time, if there's going to be a sexual abuser in the mix, and a lot of times there still are, the person has never had consequences, it's healthier for the victim just to cut ties, certainly around those events or with any people that are validating that person, you know, hasn't done anything wrong. I saw one family where the mother had been sexually violated by her biological father. He had also molested her sister. But then as he became an old man, she thought, well, he's gotten over all that. She let him babysit her kids and spend time alone with her children. He molested all the children in horrifying ways. And it's like, you'd think people would get it, but sometimes they just don't. And in that kind of a family, I think the healthiest thing you can do is help the victim decide at some point that they just want to cut ties. That's not a safe family.
I mean, look at Kitty Menendez. I mean, she sat there allegedly and knew about this for all these years. That's a hard one to wrap my mind around. How does one know that your husband, the person you're sharing your bed with and being sexually active with, is molesting your own kids, mm-hmm. and you're somehow just going to, you can stick your head in the sand and somehow continue on with life. It's one thing if you're completely oblivious and you have no clue,
yeah.
but if you have a clue, even just an inkling of a clue, how does a person like a Kitty Menendez come about, and how do they enable this sort of behavior? What kind of thinking is going on there?
I think that's the hardest thing to understand, is the ability that many people have to deny and rationalize. And the thing about the defense mechanism denial, it really doesn't mean I choose not to see. It's as if I just don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Even when there's evidence, I don't see the evidence. And it's remarkable how gifted some people are with that. Why? I don't know, you know, but then that makes me go, well, how many things in my life would people look at and say, couldn't she see that coming, that dumb guy she dated back in 1985 or whatever? Didn't she see it? I didn't see it, you know?
Yeah.
So we don't really know when we're using denial. But hopefully it's fairly low level stuff for most of us that's right in front of our face that we don't see until later. And we look back and we go, duh. But yeah, I think Kitty Menendez is a marvelous example of somebody who, to what extent was she consciously aware? And to what extent did she just not get it, or at least not get it for a long time?
Does that make that person in the mind of the victim just as bad as the main abuser if they're sitting there, or even worse? I would think in some ways the person who does bring you comfort, who's not doing that to you, but they're showing you love and they're showing your abuser love, and they know that person is abusing you. That's like the ultimate betrayal, I would think.
Yeah, it's. You know, it's hard for me to put a measurement on it. It's different in a way, but just as horrible. Mm-hmm. It is just as horrible to feel like you're not being protected from that.
Yeah. In terms of moving away from it, obviously, if you have a family that's been kind of living this life forever, is there ever a way, is there ever hope that they're going to somehow have their come to Jesus moment and realize the errors in their ways? Or if you've been a victim of this and you don't want to keep reliving the trauma, is it best just to separate yourself from that situation completely?
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, somebody goes to jail. Let's use the standard. It's mom and dad goes to jail and mom goes to therapy. And sometimes then you can work with the kid or the children and mom can make amends and, you know, have some personal growth, and they can go on and have a family unit that's functional. I've certainly seen that happen, but it's complicated, and there are times when it can't be salvaged, and people do better to just say, you know what, I'm going to have a chosen family. I'm going to go out and find replacement people that can be part of my life that I'll be spending the holidays with and have a clean slate.
Welcome to the podcast. If you'd like to listen to an ad-free version of this episode and all of our episodes, then search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. That's our premium channel where all of our ad-free and advanced episodes live, all in one place. True Crime Today Premium Plus. Search it on Apple Podcasts and press subscribe. Even try it for 3 days free.
Let's be honest. Nothing kills the thrill of a good murder mystery like a commercial for laundry detergent. It's like someone slapping a closed sign on your favorite dive bar. But you're not here for that, are you? You're here for the good stuff. So ditch the ads and upgrade to True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today Premium Plus, you get your crime straight. No chaser. Commercial free with extended interviews and early access. It's like getting the bartender's special when the bar's already closed. Search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and drink it all in.